On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh my God, guys! Oh my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports 130. And interestingly enough, this is also the 199th show produced by TCA. Up later this week will be an all-new audio Whiplash, TCA 200. But before we get to that, Maddie Lang is on the line with us as we prepare to talk a little Raptors. They open up tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. How's it going, Maddie?
Good, man. What's up, buds?
Not a whole lot, man. I'm intrigued as I do some of my reading getting ready for this series, and with the Leafs being out and the Jays being just a hot dumpster fire, I think I might be ready to get on board here. I like the sound that just came through the phones too, man. What do you got over there today?
Today I'm drinking Moosehead.
Well, all right.
I know it's between this and a Sam Adams in my fridge.
Oh my goodness, man.
There's no love for Boston right now, so.
No, okay. Good call. The last time we spoke was immediately after game one of the first round. I asked you if there was any reason to be concerned, and you said not really. And as you predicted, they went on, they kind of got it together, and won the series in six games. But in doing so, there was still some things that, to me, as the basketball layman, were concerning, not the least of which being the way they finished that game six with blowing a, was it a 25 point lead?
Bad.
You know, impressions on that series maybe before we take a look at Cleveland, because it was very Raptors-esque, right? Like, we'll do enough to get it done, but it's not going to be pretty kind of thing. And
listen, it didn't go to seven games, yep. So I don't think it's a Raptor exclusive.
Okay.
On this one, like normal.
Right.
I don't think the city could take another game seven with those guys out there. It's so stressful as a fan to be in a game seven.
Yeah.
You're right. We talked about this earlier, kind of predicted it. They were going to get their shit together. But basketball is a funny sport over a seven game series, right? Similar to hockey, because you have so many adjustments and you interpret, I'm going to play a game like this, and you react until you kind of come to that outcome, right? And if you take a couple of those games in isolation, and specifically a couple quarters in isolation, the Raptors looked really bad a couple times.
Right.
Right? Game three, particularly, worse than giving up a 25-point lead, was basically going down by 20 after one quarter.
Yeah, I saw that too. Oof.
And not showing up, right?
Right.
And having the entire, you know, just everybody watching the entire game from the bench. And, you know, at the time I was kind of pissed watching that game, and I'm sure most of the fans were too. And you're going, why
tweets?
Yeah. And why don't you put the starters out there? Right. But maybe, you know, maybe Casey knew what he was doing, saying, we don't got this game. I'm going to embarrass these guys.
Maddie, and then Lang, we'll have at it. Are you giving Dwayne Casey credit?
I know. It's like, check for the full moon out tonight, boys. It doesn't happen often for me, right?
Right.
There's definitely, and I mean, you saw me on Twitter a couple of times. I tried to be a little more quiet this playoff round, since it's like, you know, deja vu all over again. If you look back at this time last year from my tweets,
right?
But realistically, I mean, he still continues to make some baffling moves, which just annoy the heck out of me. But the team really came around. I think the biggest change they made was taking out JV, the softest 7-footer in the world, and putting in Norm Powell. That really invigorated everybody because it put another shooter on the floor.
Right.
The Raptors, it was like they finally figured out that every time they're in a playoff series, they double-teamed DeRozan, and they pressured DeRozan. So maybe you just need to put somebody else on the floor who can score.
Yeah.
And Norm Powell, when he's driving to the bucket, can do that. Game one and game three, personally for me, were awful because you saw a lot of bad passing. And a team like the Bucks, they're young, they're long, they've all got these crazy wingspans. They intercept the most, or they tip the most passes in the NBA. So what did the Raptors go out and do game one is they tried to make these no-look passes all over the place, and they got beat. They learned their lesson, but they still were turning the ball over way too much, even game five, game six. Now they're going into a game or a series against Cleveland, much different team, right? You got Milwaukee, who's kind of coming out kind of like the Raptors did 3 years ago. Under the radar, had a good season, didn't go in with quite the record the Raptors did, but they were young, they were hungry, up against a veteran team who was looking forward to Cleveland in round two.
Yeah.
Kind of a similar setup. Listen, the Raptors did what they needed to do. When we're going to look back on the series by the end of the year, however soon or late that might be, if we look back in 2-3 years, all we're going to remember is the Raptors won 4 games to 2.
Right.
Right? At the end of the day, look at Edmonton and San Jose in their first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Edmonton won 4 games to 2. Nobody cares that San Jose won 1-0.
Right. No, it's
That's
true.
An aberration, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And in a 7-game series, because of the way the world is and because of the way our media is and how obsessive we are all as fans, you know, it's a huge deal for 2 to 3 days, right?
Yeah.
And we tend to obsess over it. But within a week, it's yesterday's news again, right?
True enough.
And actually, so not to interrupt you,
no,
but
go ahead.
As a segue into the Cleveland series, you know, going into the playoffs, all the talk was about Cleveland having the third worst defense in the league. And if I'm not mistaken, it was actually like the second worst defense outside of the Los Angeles Lakers, who were actively trying to get the number one pick.
Yeah, yeah.
After the All-Star game. So they were not good.
Right.
They were something like, I think even including the 4 wins against Indianapolis in the playoffs, they might only be like 16-14 since the All-Star break. This was not a team that was, one, caring to win, maybe. They rested a lot of players, but they also just didn't look good in general.
Sure.
Now they play a number two team, the 7th-seeded team in Indianapolis Pacers, which is basically Paul George.
Right.
And they won 2 games very close, and they won 2 games by a healthy margin. But all that anybody remembers right now is, well, Cleveland won in 4 games and had a sweep.
Yeah.
And all the talk right now in all the U.S. stations is, well, we really misjudged Cleveland. Like, and to me, I'm like, you kind of just beat Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like you ran rush head over them and every game was a 30-point victory. You know, 2 of those games could have gone either way.
Right.
But that's the way the media is, right? And that's what we'll fixate on. And
absolutely, yeah. So as we move kind of segueing into this, I was reading today a great piece in The Athletic TO, and if you're a Toronto sports fan, you should absolutely consider checking that. It's really good writing over there. And they're starting to tee up this series. And they were saying there that there might not have been, in terms of preparing for LeBron, there might not have been a better kind of first-round opponent than the Greek Freak there, right? And I don't know that full name, Giannis or whatever they call it. Yeah,
just call him Giannis.
Yeah, because that's about all I'm going to get my tongue around, I think, right? But they said that in the way he does – he is not LeBron, obviously. But in the way that he does things and how, you know, that there's maybe a similar playing style there. Do you read anything into that? Do you think that's a valid comparison, that obviously LeBron's going to be a step up, but in terms of getting ready for that, that maybe this guy was a – you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, in that he's a special player, in that he's a genetic freak of a player, and you're not going to stop him. Your job is to just limit him.
Right.
I think that's a fair interpretation. I mean, they're slightly different guys. LeBron, you just look at his build, he could play in the NFL very easily.
Yeah.
He's a big man. He's going to go right through you when he wants to.
Absolutely.
And he's going to flop when he wants to, and he's probably going to get the call every time.
That's the part that drives you fucking crazy.
Yeah. No surprise he did really well in that movie this summer with John Cena and Amy Schumer. Great acting skills.
Right, exactly.
I'll give you that much. Giannis is more of he's a tall, lanky, he's spry, right? He's wiry.
Yeah.
And he does things that you just don't expect anybody to do. And maybe it's a little deceiving because his arm length is so, like, he's just so long, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That you almost think the ball's on one side of you and you turn around, it's the other side.
Yeah.
Or he's come out of nowhere to absolutely block a shot. So they're both dynamic guys. I think they both play the three. So from that, preparation-wise, yeah, the Raptors got an idea of how it is to guard that wing player,
right,
when he's a spectacular, lack of a better term, unicorn.
Yes.
Right? And what the Raptors are going to do, yeah, right? Who are we going to put on him? Are they going to start with Damari Carroll, which has kind of been what they've done all year since he's sort of recovered from that knee injury? Do you put PJ Tucker on him? What about Pat Patterson? Do you move a guy like Ibaka over? And how you work that around, right? I mean, talk about preparation. Ibaka and Tucker were brought over to beat Cleveland.
Yeah, this very round, like this opponent.
It.
Yeah,
didn't matter when we were going to play them. These guys were on the team to play Cleveland,
right?
To bring the grit that we didn't have last year, to be able to play small ball, but kind of a big, tough small ball version,
right?
And we're about to see what it looks like. a lot of waiting since trade deadline was February 23rd, so a lot of waiting around.
Have they played since the deadline? I know, as you said, LeBron down or Cleveland down the stretch was resting guys and had an injury situation or two. But do you know have they played?
They played in the last game of the season.
Oh, okay.
Which the Raptors did win. Didn't really matter. Kevin Love didn't play. LeBron didn't play. DeMar didn't play. Ibaka didn't play. Kyle, I think, was the only real star who played in that game.
Yeah,
and that was mostly because he just needed reps coming off that wrist surgery.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've already referenced him once in talking about the first round. One of the mismatches that I keep reading about is Tristan Thompson versus JV. Do you think that's a matchup that we're going to see, or is Casey going to have to fight to get away from that and maybe not even have him, on the floor in those situations? Everything I've read and everything I understand is there's never been a time where Cleveland has been more vulnerable. Like, if you're going to do it, this is when you're going to do it. But it's going to be based on how smart you are with your rotations. And how do you see that kind of shaking out at JV and what they're going to do there? Patterson is another name you mentioned a few seconds ago that, some of the experts I've been reading, they seem to think that's the guy to put on LeBron. How do you think this all kind of shakes loose?
It's going to be that chess match, right? And Casey, after the first two games or three games, said, I'm going to take my big player out in JV in round one, and I'm going to put in a wing player in Norm Powell. And it really worked out for the best for Toronto, because the situation they were faced with was, we're too slow on defense. So all of a sudden, the Bucks that aren't great offensively just had all this room in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
And that just caused a lot of spacing issues for the Raptors. So going to a small ball and putting more defensive players out, that also means DeLon Wright gets a little more playing time out there. He's another young, long kid who can cause some problems defensively. That really worked out against the Bucks. I'd be surprised if the Raptors don't try to really go with small ball here against the Cavs as well, because I think they're really made for small ball at this point, right? JV's really the only true big guy. Yeah. And as much as he will score against Cleveland, okay, he will, he definitely will put up offensive numbers. He does all the time. The problem with JV is, probably mentally mostly, right? He's a little bit soft, so he doesn't use his figure imposing enough. But he also seems to make a lot of almost comical errors around the bucket with the ball when he gets it.
Hello, and Jake Gardner.
Yeah. God. Yeah. Actually, Jake Gardner might be more useful to the Raptors sometimes.
Okay.
I think, right? I mean, I've never seen a 7-footer just drop the ball out of his hands and kick it so many times.
Oh, dear.
It's just, it's, he does it once a game that you're just like, what are you doing? Do you not know you have a size 13 shoe? Like, what are you doing? And I think a guy like Tristan Thompson, he's too quick for JV.
Right.
And I know the argument is going to be, well, JV's a bigger guy. He doesn't box out well enough. His foot position is just not what it needs to be. And Tristan Thompson's basically just going to walk around him all game long on offense. It might be a null situation at best for the Raptors. But if you go really small and you go with Ibaka and Patterson, you put Cleveland in a position where, yeah, they might rebound a little bit better, but they're also not a great rebounding team to begin with.
Okay.
Because they really rely on Thompson to do most of that rebounding. Kevin Love's going to get his fair share of rebounds, but he's really become a true stretch four. He doesn't get too close to the bucket anymore. And he's not exactly, you know, he doesn't have that, rep as a tough guy along the boards either, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's kind of a, you know, the pretty all-American boy. He's going to sit and just take his threes. The problem with him is you don't want to let him get hot and get those threes.
No, exactly.
And just to the point that you alluded to, I mean, everybody just assumes Cleveland's going to win, right?
Yep.
And it's hard not to, because LeBron's been to 6 straight finals. At some point, somebody's going to beat him.
Oh, it's true.
And, I mean, somebody beat Gretzky, right? Yeah. Somebody beat Mario. At some point, somebody's going to beat him, and this might be the time, and maybe not because LeBron's done being LeBron, but the rest of his team just isn't what it used to be. You got Kevin Love coming off. I'm going to forget now if his was a back or a knee injury as well this time, but it seems like he's, you know, injured every year. Kyrie hasn't had the season he's had in the past. J.R. Smith is coming off a knee injury where it looked like, actually it might have been against a game against Toronto, actually it looked like he hyperextended his knee. Damage wasn't as bad as it looked initially. You got Kyle Korver, who's used to be fantastic, and you know, as a Raptor fan, you have a feeling like he's going to regain his youth tonight. It's just, that's the way it is with the Raptors, right?
Absolutely.
But he has not looked very good, at least in consistent games. They picked up Deron Williams, who the last time I think the Raptors played him, he was with Brooklyn, actually, when we lost that disappointing series a few years ago. And again, he's a couple years past his prime now. So, you know, they don't have the depth for sure.
Right.
LeBron played 44 minutes on average in the first series against the Pacers.
Oh, my.
So, yeah, I mean, he's old in basketball terms, right? He's going on 34. And no, that doesn't sound old to you or I at our ages anymore. But to put it into perspective, he's played more professional basketball games than Larry Bird did in his entire career.
Wow. Yeah, when to add up all those playoff runs, right? As you said, 6 straight finals, right? And all these sorts of things. It doesn't take long to put the miles on.
And you never really want to wish injury on anybody.
Right.
Especially when it's your team playing them, because you don't want that asterisk on it. But come on, I mean, this guy's never really been hurt, right? I mean, he flops around on the ground a lot, but are we a sprained ankle away from, like, what happens if game one he goes out and hits a jumper and just lands wrong?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think now, Rudy Gobert for the Jazz, that happened to him in game 6 the Jazz game, and was luckily able to come back for the next game.
Right.
And Markieff Morris for Washington happened in game 1 against Boston yesterday, and Washington was up by 16 points when Markieff Morris went down and quickly lost by 15 points by the end of the game.
Yeah, when you start taking major pieces out, right, it can come apart in a hurry.
It doesn't take much. So again, this might be, you know, maybe I'm sounding like a really, I'm like, well, if.
Yeah, yeah.
But it could be finally the time somebody steps up to Cleveland right now.
You referenced the last game of the season, Kyle Lowry playing. He said in an interview this week that he still doesn't feel like he's 100% back. Based on what you've seen, how close do you think he is? Is it still noticeable to you that he might be a little off, or does he seem pretty close to back where he should be?
He looks awful.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, hot take here. He looks awful.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure it's his wrist. His back is clearly bothering him. He was a 42% shooter. I had to look it up before we were talking today. 42% until the injury.
Right.
And from the playoffs on, he's been a 28% shooter.
Okay.
That's a dramatic
Yikes.
Fall off.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it goes from like, you know, 24 points to 12 points or something like that. He's clearly not driving the bucket because he doesn't feel comfortable right now. That being said, when he comes off the floor, the Raptors are awful.
Well, that's a problem.
Right. And you know, like two negatives here. Does that make a positive still? So I was at game five. So I was watching the game live. And that was probably the Raptors' best game, to be quite honest with you. They just, like, everything was firing on all cylinders. There was really never a Bucks run that you were worried about. It was just you had that good feeling all game about it.
Right.
And the only time I think the Bucks put a couple points up in a row was when Lowry came off. So he was off on the sidelines, and he might have caught it in game five and six. He was lie down. He wasn't sitting on the bench.
Yeah, that's not a wrist.
Yeah, that is not a wrist problem, right? For you Google doctors at home, that is not something you do when you have wrist pain. So Mr. Lowry there was lying down every break he had. He wasn't in on the huddles or anything. He was just down on the ground, just resting, letting his back relax. To me, that's you know, not good for a guy whose job is to run and jump and get hit and get knocked down. That's a problem, right? And it's not like football where you're on for – you can be on for two series or get the ball every series and the rest of the time you're kind of a decoy. When you're the point guard, you're on the floor.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And we need him to play LeBron minutes, unfortunately, because we're going up against a guy in Kyrie Irving who absolutely is going to torch Corey Joseph if that's the way it plays out.
Right.
It is not going to be pretty. And in that case, we are going to lose very quickly in this series. Now, Kyle Lowry is not going to sit out any games. That's not going to happen. He is a free agent this year.
Yeah.
The last thing he needs to do is not show up in this playoff series. He's going to play. It's going to be how effective is he, right? Kyle Lowry's most effective when he's getting to the bucket. But he still managed to do the little things, right? He's still directing the floor. He spaces the ball well. He moves the ball well. He's got the best vision, right? He's kind of a, for you hockey guys out there, he's the Morgan Riley out there, right? He's making the good breakout passes. He sees people a lot better than Corey Joseph or Van Vliet or whoever else we put out there.
Sure.
So the offense moves a lot more smooth, even if he's not the one scoring.
Right.
It's just a lot more effective when he's feeling good. So, you know, that being said, this year, it's the first time the Raptors ever won a series, a seven-game series, not in seven games. So they've had a couple days to rest. They weren't rushing from one series to the next.
Exactly, yeah.
Couple days off, mentally, physically prepared now for this team. Cross our fingers that he's, you know, in the right place and feeling good.
So, two final questions for you then. I'm obviously going to force you to make a prediction. And also, if you had to pick a second kind of, you know, what series are you most interested in beyond this one? Kind of a sleeper, this is going to be can't miss basketball here in this second round.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I've actually got two for you.
Okay.
Because I actually, as just as a basketball fan, this is the time of year it's really hard my early morning shifts at work because I have a tendency to stay up way too late and watching the West Coast. And it's solely
the Oilers, I mean, the Oilers are killing me right now.
We do it with hockey all the time.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So
I'm bouncing around between the two channels watching hockey and basketball.
Yeah.
It's just, it's way too entertaining for this time of year, right?
Yeah.
So the first series I'll say is Washington and Boston.
Okay.
And I mentioned it earlier. I was watching the game yesterday. That is, if you like hockey, this is the basketball series for you.
Okay, yeah.
they refer to it a lot as like old school Eastern Conference basketball. Okay, right. So
physical, you know, edgy,
yeah, physical. Yeah. There's going to be some fights. These two teams do not like each other. A fight broke out earlier this year between them in a back-to-back game.
Nice.
And the second game,
a fight, Washington, or a basketball fight?
A basketball fight. It was a basketball
fight. A lot of slapping and facepalm.
Yeah, I mean, there were some words.
Yeah.
There was some mean mugging.
Yeah.
I think somebody untucked later. His shirt.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it got bad.
All right. So that's the.
Yeah. And so what happened was game two, Washington came out. And at this point, Washington had just, you know, early season, just figuring themselves out. And that was the turning point game for them. They showed up the next day and they called it the funeral game. And they all dressed in black. And they said they were coming in to put, you know, Boston to rest. Oh. And they came out and they just beat Boston.
Wow.
Beat them.
You love that.
Yeah, and it was one of those games. And then Washington went on the run, in which they ended up passing the Raptors for a couple games in the middle of the season when the Raptors were on their little bit of a dip.
Yeah.
So there is no love lost between these two teams. As much as Raptor fans, and I guess let's call it all of Canada, feels that Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan don't get any respect.
Yeah.
John Wall truly feels like he doesn't get any respect. And he's probably the second best player in the Eastern Conference.
Wow.
Or the best guy not named LeBron James.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
You know, and when you're John Wall, you don't always get to go to the All-Star game because there's Kyrie Irving and there's Kyle Lowry and the list goes on and on,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And you don't get to be first team All-Star at the end of the year because you got guys like Steph Curry and James Harden. So he doesn't get the respect that some of these other guys get. And he's a dynamic player, man. He's fun to watch. So is the point guard for Boston, Isaiah Thomas. Kind of come out of nowhere last year, undrafted, bounced around a couple of teams, ended up on Boston. He's 5'7", so automatically everybody loves him.
Muggsy Bogues.
Muggsy Bogues size.
Yeah.
He's amazing on offense. The story going around right now, you know, his you might have heard his sister unfortunately passed away last week.
Yeah.
In a car accident. So he's been back and forth between homes. So very emotional. You can see it with him and his teammates. He seems to be digging in and becoming the player he normally is again.
Yeah.
He also lost a tooth yesterday again.
I saw that. Fans. Yeah, that was a
tooth flying out.
Man.
the best part was he got up and got the tooth and walked off the court with it, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, when people tell you basketball players aren't tough, there's a tough one for you right there. For every LeBron James, you got a Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, absolutely.
So hopefully Markieff Morris isn't hasn't badly sprained his ankle. If he can come back, this is going to be a good, fun series. It's going to be pushy. It's going to go seven. Somebody's feelings are going to get hurt. You know, there might be some more bad words uttered on the court. Good one to pay attention to, not just because the Raptors are going to play them next round.
Right.
Either.
Attaboy.
Second game, that's an easier game because it's an East Coast game. If you really want to watch some fun basketball, though, the Houston Rockets and the San Antonio Spurs.
That should be a war, too, right? Like, maybe not quite as physical, but that looks like it's got a hell of a series written all over it, right? Like,
that's right.
Yeah.
And you got two teams who, again, geographically do not like each other. You've got some spectacular players in James Harden and Kawhi Leonard. These guys are going to go toe-to-toe. You got two great coaches in Popovich and D'Antoni. One's a little bit more of a defensive coach. Obviously, D'Antoni still loves his 7 seconds and shoot. It's going to be fun.
Right.
This series could be over in four, or it could be over in seven. I have no idea who's going to win, but it's going to be fun. So, you know, it's only Central time, so you should be able to flip into it before you catch some of the Edmonton Oilers game tonight.
Yeah, it's not too bad, eh? That's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too late. Like those Golden State games against the Jazz.
Gets tough.
You can forget that. Golden State's winning in four.
There you go.
Don't worry about it.
Right.
But the other series, you'll want to catch a little bit, at least the highlights.
Yeah.
Or the, you know, the game in 20 or whatever they do.
So as we get back closer to home, putting you on the spot, what are we going to see, Toronto-Cleveland?
Fearless call. Yep. Raps in seven.
Attaboy. This is the time.
This is it.
They're vulnerable. It's time to knock them down for a year.
That's it. And I don't think it's going to be easy. And there's going to be a blowout game one way or the other. Raptor fans are going to call to trade half the squad at some point in the series.
Maddie's going to demand Kwesi's firing some point on Twitter.
I'm going to demand that Jerry Stackhouse takes over in the middle of game two, as per my norm.
Right.
Actually, we'll see. Now that the 905 are done, and the 905 won the D-League championship this year.
Yeah, I saw that.
Actually, the last time it's ever going to be called the D League is next year it becomes the G League.
Oh.
Because Gatorade just bought the league.
Ugh.
Or the sponsorship of the league, because sponsorships on jerseys are just around the corner.
Gross.
I know. Here comes European soccer, right?
Exactly, man. Terrible.
So Jerry Stackhouse should be back around in the house. And a couple games I've noticed him in the second row behind Casey.
Reassuring.
Can see him plodding, you know?
Yeah. Or yelling
the
instructions.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Just right over top of him when nobody else is listening. I'm hoping to be there at game 3.
I was going
to
ask if you had tickets for any of this round.
I will definitely be at one game, whether it's game 3 or game 4. I'm going to try to sneak into both of them.
Nice.
I'm going to try to make it to both.
That a boy.
In which case, I know Stackhouse is going to hear me yell at him. He'll know he has a fan. I'll be there. I'll be like, no, Stackhouse wasn't around when, you know, Casey fell in the shower. It wasn't him. I'll be that guy. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
We'll hopefully get to two games. I just said it's going to go 7, so maybe 3.
Attaboy.
Got out to one in the first round.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to get out to a couple this round. We'll see. I've got my lucky Kyle Lowry jersey, which is now 5-1 in the playoffs.
Hey, there you go. These things matter, man. Know, any little thing you can do to help.
Hey, we're in Dartman territory now. Okay? We're getting... It's becoming an urban legend at this point.
See if you can become some kind of celebrity around this team, right? It'd be awesome.
The unfortunate thing is the Raptors already have Superfan.
That's true. That's true.
You and have I can't, your work I cannot out. Compete with him, man.
No one can. Man,
He's got the custom suits.
I know.
Custom lining.
Guy's wild.
He travels to all the away games. who's running his Nissan dealership when he's away?
He's got to be just loaded. Is that what he does? He runs a Nissan?
Yeah, he's got a couple dealerships in the West End in Mississauga.
Okay.
Yeah.
Had no idea.
Who knew that's how you made money, right? Like,
and that's what you did with it.
That's what you did with it. It's definitely a Nissan dealership. I feel like he might have one or two more around the city. Which, you know what, though? Only because I met this guy randomly at a golf tournament. There's another guy in Oakville, Buds, and he's got like the Audi dealership and the Jaguar or something like that, the BMW.
Right.
He owns like a whole corner, and he sits right behind the Leaf bench. Every day. He's clearly not as cool as Superfan.
No.
But he does wear these checkered suits all the time right behind Babcock. And I always look at him because when I met him, I thought, what a dickhead this guy is.
But there he is with all his money enjoying every game. Well, we can't even afford to get in the door.
I know. Well, we can afford to get in the door. It's the $14 beers that really
it's true, man.
They grind my gears.
They add up in a hurry. Round one kicks off tonight for the Raptors. That's Matty Lang. You can follow him on Twitter as he emotionally melts down throughout the series, at Matthew Lang. You'll be able to find the spelling of that on our feeds, but it's L-A-I-N-G in Lang. Matty, thanks for doing this.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Go Raps, go.
All right. That's Tall Can Sports, 130. Like I said, stick around later on this week. 200th show produced by the network, Audio Whiplash. Hashtag TCA 200 coming this week. So thanks a lot. We'll see you all on the next one.